Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, today as we take a look at rules and the law, help our hearts and our eyes and our souls to be open to see that you have given us the ability to joyfully and in freedom to celebrate your law and to love you and to love our neighbors. And we ask that you help us always to remain in your forgiveness, rejoicing always in the good work you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our devotion for today and our devotional family book for the third Sunday in Lent says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul," Psalm 19:7. How do you feel about rules? Most of us find at least some of them to be frustrating if the rules are supposed to be designed for our own good to keep us safe and happy. God does not set rules to make us angry or frustrated. They are a gift to help us find love in Him. Have you ever played a game with someone who cheats or constantly changes the rules? It doesn't work. You cannot play and have fun when the rules are being broken or when they are being changed. Jesus tells us that all of God's rules flow from the most important rule: love God and each other. When we love, our hearts, bodies, and souls get all filled up. And when we become the people of God created us to be, we have to trust that following the rules can help us to love. So, just a show of hands, does anybody here like rules? Nobody? Yeah, I figure there were some of you who do. Yeah. I don't like rules, and I've been, I don't like rules, and I'm kind of sometimes a rebel when it comes to rules. But there are some rules that I do like, especially when they benefit me. Those rules I really like. But the reality is, you either like rules or you don't. And sometimes they're a great thing, and sometimes they can be a real nuisance. And there are rules everywhere. I know for those of you that have served in the military, there are lots of rules in the military, right? Lots of them. And I've flown planes before, and there are lots of rules when you fly planes. And those rules are there for a good reason, because they keep you safe. Here in Texas, we have these things posted on the interstate called speed limits, although I've come to understand that in Texas, those are really just suggestions, not rules. So I think we're okay with that one most of the time, although when the state trooper pulls you over, try convincing him it's a suggestion. It doesn't work. We have rules in school, right? You remember in the old days? I think the rules in the older days might be a little more strict than they are these days. But we have rules in school for a reason. They keep us safe. We have rules in our homes. We have rules in our daily lives. And we can sit here and explore and think about it. There are rules everywhere. And they serve a purpose in our world. They serve a purpose in our society. God has established rules and government to create rules and parents to create rules for the specific reason of keeping order in this realm that we live in. In the horizontal realm that we talk about in the cross, where we live with each other, there are rules, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But those rules are designed and put there for a purpose. Do you ever stop to think, why do we have rules? I don't know about you, but sometimes I do think about them. Why is this rule there and that rule there? I never have understood that on some back roads in Texas, the speed limit's 50 and on others it's 75. Why are the rules different? And sometimes we have different rules for different things. And you wonder, what's the point behind that? But God has rules too. We know that. For those of you that have been through confirmation, you have learned and hopefully memorized the Ten Commandments and their meaning. If you haven't, well, I encourage you to do so. In our lesson for today, we heard the great rule from Jesus himself, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God has rules too. And in fact, the reality is what Scripture teaches is those rules are written on everyone's heart. Have you ever noticed how an unbeliever knows that it's wrong to murder somebody? An unbeliever knows that it's wrong to cheat on their spouse? An unbeliever knows that it's wrong to gossip and to share lies about another person? Isn't that interesting? Or we look at other religions like Buddhism and Islam. They have pretty much the same premise to their rules. That's because God has written the rules on everyone's heart. Whether you're a believer in Him or not, the rules have been established and placed in our hearts for a reason. And that reason is good and perfect. You see, when God established His rules, He did so out of love. He did so out of love. Now follow me for a minute here, if you will. If we look at God's rules, it's very plain to see that God is a God of order and a God of structure. And when He does something, He always does it for the intent purpose to love us so that we can love each other. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the way as we Lutherans have them, which are right, they're ordered right in the Lutheran church, because we have a table of 1 through 3 and then a table of 4 through 10. Some people have 1 through 4 and then 6 through 10 and that doesn't work, or 5 through 10 and that doesn't work, right? That's not neat and orderly. But we're neat and orderly, and so we have the original ordering of the Ten Commandments. So on one table of the commandments, there's commandments 1 through 3. What do those commandments deal with? Right. They deal with our relationship with God, right? Now, if you look at the cross, and we've talked about the theology of the cross and Lutheranism before, in their cross, there are two realms. There's that vertical realm right there, right? And in that vertical realm of the cross, we're talking about our relationship with God. And the first thing that happens in our relationship with God is that God comes to us, right? And he loves us. We're the vessel at the bottom of the cross, a bowl being filled up with his grace and his love and his mercy every day. We've talked about this. If you stand over a bucket, you fill the bucket up with water from a hose, eventually what happens? The water fills up and it overflows. We'll talk about that in a second. But this is important for us to realize. And the cross shows us this because the cross is love. The second table of the commandments, commandments 4 through 10, what do they deal with? Our neighbors, right? How we relate to each other, how we show God's love to each other, right? If I love you, I'm not going to murder you. If I love my spouse, I'm not going to cheat on her. And the list goes on and on and on, right? And this is the reality of how God acts. And that is represented in the horizontal realm of the cross, as you see. So when that bucket fills up with love and grace, or when the bucket fills up with water, what happens? It begins to overflow and comes out, right? So when we at the base of the cross, as God's gift, we at the base of the cross, as the clay pot that God has made us to be, fills up with his grace and his love, what happens? It overflows from our lives and goes out horizontally into the world around us. And so that causes us and leads us to love our neighbor and to love our neighbor in the way that God wants us to love them, by sharing Jesus with them and forgiveness and all these wonderful gifts. So you see how neatly, first of all, those commandments work, and how neatly it fits into our theology as Lutherans, the theology of the cross. The Ten Commandments truly are a guide to love. The Ten Commandments truly are summed up in the great command from Jesus to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me point something out here. You have to love yourself. We forget that. Now, I'm not saying to love yourself to make yourself better than anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to love yourself, right? We have to love ourselves as the creation God made us to be, to take care of ourselves, to realize that we're not failures, to realize we are more than our sins, more than our past, more than our hurts, more than our brokenness. We are more than that. We are God's children. Because if we don't love ourselves, it's impossible to love God perfectly, which we can't do anyways, but try to love God perfectly, and it's impossible to love our neighbor. Because if we don't love ourselves, that love can't flow out from within us. We've talked about this before, the blockages that form in this grace, this relationship, this vertical realm with God, right? It's like the heart. If you go get a blockage in your heart, the doctor has to open it, because if he doesn't open the blockage, some of you are very aware of this more than others, what could happen to your heart? The heart will die, right? Who put the blockage there? You did, by eating unhealthy. Or it could be genetic, right? Who puts the blockage in from God's grace? Does God put a blockage in? No, we do, with our sinfulness. By failing to love God, by failing to love ourselves, by failing to love our neighbor. And over time, that blockage builds up and we lose the grace of God. And we'll talk in a little bit about how we keep those blockages from forming, because that truly is an act of love. But that's important for us to realize. And the most important thing for us to realize is that when we look at the cross and we realize that the rules are there and the commandments are there, it's all there for one intent purpose. It's there for love. It's there to show you how much God loves you. It's there to show you what God has done for you. Do you know why God has given the Ten Commandments? Do you think he gave them to restrict us? No, he gave them as rules of happy living. If you don't cheat on your spouse, you should have a happy life and a happy wife or a happy husband, right? If you don't murder somebody, well, you're going to have a happy life. You won't wind up in jail or the death penalty. Because we realize this. In this vertical and horizontal realm, there are consequences in our horizontal realm, right? If I murder somebody, if I steal, if I do something wrong, I'm going to have to pay a consequence for that in society, right? But does that affect my relationship with God? If I am repentant and I go to God and I confess my sins and I'm repentant, does God still love me? Sure he can. Can God forgive and love the person on death row? Sure he can. I hope so, because if he can't do that, he can't forgive me. Right? And this is the reality of how God's love works. And we see that when we look at the cross, and we see the beauty of that in rules. But sadly, we as humans, because of this disease of sinfulness that runs in our life, sadly, we fail so miserably at following God's rules, at living those rules out in our life. We fail. We don't love each other perfectly, do we? We don't love our spouses perfectly. We don't love Jesus perfectly. We fail miserably. Oh, it's just a little sin, Pastor. I don't have to worry about that, but a little sin in God's eyes is the same as a big sin, right? Because God counts all sin equally. And all sin is punished by death and hell, and that's truly what we deserve because of our sinfulness. Whether it's thinking bad of someone and hating them, committing adultery, lusting, looking at pornography, being addicted, whatever that list may be, and on and on and on. The reality is, we fail miserably at putting God and others first and loving them the way God loves us. This is the reality of our sinful condition. I'm reminded of the words of St. Paul. Who can rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. The reality is the cross of Jesus has set us free. The cross is what sets us free. Yeah, we fail miserably. We are sinners. I've committed sins in my life that if you knew about, you would say, and you're a pastor? That's what you would say. I have. And I'm sure if I knew every sin you committed, I would say, and you're a Christian? I'm sure that would happen, right? Because we can judge each other that way. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, that's not how he operates. Because of the cross, when Jesus died for us, he took on all of our sinfulness. He took on our past, our wretchedness, our brokenness, our hurts, our pains. He took it all on himself. He took every bit of it on himself and destroyed it, sent it straight to hell where it belongs, so that Satan could revel in it and Satan could smell the waste of our life and rot in and decay in it, Luther says, because that's where it belongs. And Jesus triumphantly died on the cross and then rises to life to assure us that our sins are forgiven, that we are not failures in God's eyes. We've talked about this before, the joyful exchange, the very fact that Jesus lived this perfect righteous life, and when he died for us, he gave us his righteousness and he took on our sinfulness. He became sin, even though he had no sin, for you and for me. He died for us to set us free. He died for us so that our past no longer counts. He died for us so that we have a future and a hope, a home in heaven with him forever. He died for us so that we don't have to be bogged down by our past brokenness and hurts and the trials, the temptations and failures of life. He died for us to give us the greatest hope that mankind can have, the hope and the knowledge and the faith that we will live with him forever. He died for us to set us free to live in his law. He died for us to set us free to live in his law. Because the reality is, when we live in freedom, not having to worry about failing, not having to worry about being bound by sin, death, and the devil anymore, we are free to completely love God and our neighbor as ourselves. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that begins in our lives at our baptism, that continues in our life in the Word, that continues in the sacrament of the altar, that continues every day in our lives to help us to be that horizontal realm of the kingdom of God, loving each other, curing each other, healing each other, binding each other up, and bringing the good news of Jesus. You see, when we practice love, we allow the Spirit to lead us in repentance and sanctification. Remember repentance? Turning away from our sin back to Jesus. And sanctification, the work and the process of becoming holy. We love God and we love our neighbor. St. Paul says in our lesson for today, in fact, that when we help our brothers and sisters, when we help them to follow the rules, notice that's a responsibility of ours too, right? If we have a brother or sister sinning, what is our job to do? Not to judge them, but what are we called to do? We're called to go to our brother and sister and say, hey, we need to talk. You're going the wrong direction, and Jesus loves you. Let me help you out, because we are our brother's keeper. That's the reality. When we help bear each other's burdens, St. Paul says this, when we help bear each other's burdens, our hurts, our desires, our brokenness, our past, and our pain. When we bear each other's burdens, our addiction, that sin, that thorn in our flesh, We fulfill the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is his love. And God is love, and God's love is perfect, and it overcomes everything in our world today. Every matter in our world today, call me a simpleton, can be solved if we together continue to love and serve each other and our community with a love that God has shown to us. Because his love changes hearts and lives and societies and communities. And we are free to share that love. You see, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves is the greatest act of practicing love that we can have. It starts by practicing it on yourself. It starts by practicing it with God, and it starts by practicing it with your neighbor. And I will tell you this, as a person who has come from a broken past, when you learn to love somebody with your heart, your whole heart, it heals you in ways that you can never imagine. It fills you with joy. Your life changes, and your perspective in this world does too. No longer do you have to turn on the news and feel terrible at what's happening in society. No longer do you have to worry about all the things that are going on out there, because you have the greatest gift known in the world. The very love of Jesus Christ for you and for others. Indeed, the law of God is perfect, holy, and beautiful. Let me make this clear. We cannot be saved by it. We fail miserably at following it, but we are joyfully set free from our sinfulness in Jesus Christ, so that no longer are we saved by the law, we are saved by God's grace and set free to joyfully celebrate the law in our lives. Our devotion today, the action that you have, our assignment for practicing love: the next time a rule rubs you the wrong way, practice following it and thank God for the rule and the people who set the rule. Eat your snack in the kitchen. Set the cruise control on the speed limit instead of above it. Walk inside the that person must be from Texas. Walk inside the designated areas. Give the frustration to Jesus and ask him to bless you in following the law. In the name of Jesus, amen.